Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Thank you, Pastor Shannon, for lending the pulpit to me this morning and taking the risk. And Lord, help us all, eh? Let's get straight into it because I've only got 15 minutes and that's quite short. So today's message is called A Life on Mission. Thank you so much, Josh, for leading us into kind of this next, you know, once we've beholded, now it's time to go on mission. So today's message, I pray, would light a fire under you. There's gifts and there's talents in the room. There's things the Lord's placed on your life. And I feel the Lord wanting to ignite you this Christmas into living a life on mission. For you, that might look like going through the same checkout at IGA every week. That might be your life on mission. For you, that might be connecting with your neighbours. But I believe that the ministry that happens on this stage on a Sunday isn't the ministry. Some are called to preach the word, but I believe you guys are out there ministering just as much as someone who stands on this stage and preaches on a Sunday. Amen. Are you with me? Some of you, that might be a myth that's just been busted in your thought patterns. Because I believe that there's cricket clubs, there's schools, there's school drop-offs and pickups where that is your ministry this week. And I'm believing that the Lord is going to ignite something in you again for those mission fields. Amen. For me, missions looked like being on the mission field. Shannon and I got sent out to pastor a church in Cambodia. And more recently, the Lord's sent me out to Coolgardie. And we've had an incredible opportunity as a church to minister out in Coolgardie. I would love to share a little bit more with you about that. You know, when I was sent to Cambodia, what you didn't know was that there was something else pressing in my heart. See, the Lord, many years ago when I first got saved, I felt His quiet whisper, His hand, His little seed in my heart, like birthing something in me or driving me to have, yeah, just this quiet whisper that said the remote community of WA. That he just whispered the indigenous community of WA over my heart. And I didn't know what that meant. I didn't make a plan. I didn't do anything with it. It kind of just sat there in my heart. And we went over to Cambodia, but still this quiet whisper was in my heart. And we returned to Perth. And Pastor Ken Fletcher put out a notice, expression of interest for mission trips. And that was last year. And I signed up. I said, oh, remote WA. I don't know why that's intriguing. And then I remembered, okay, there was actually something the Lord's placed in my heart a long time ago that is drawing me to this trip. And you know, the funny thing is I signed up and I spoke to Pastor Ken Fletcher and he goes, yeah, we don't really have anywhere to go. It was just a faith step. I was like, oh, okay, so my mustard seed of faith and your mustard seed of faith, well, let's just get praying, hey? And then May this year, the Lord actually opened a door for us as a church to go to Coolgardie. Pastor Ken Fletcher just got a call out of nowhere from a guy who runs an Indigenous school out in Coolgardie. And he just said that, you know, that someone in the town's heard that there's a fire and a flame at the Myrie campus. And we were just wondering if you would bring that fire of God out to Coolgardie with you. And we're like, ah, praise the Lord, because we've been praying the same thing. And so this door opened wide. And why, church? Why? How did this happen? A mustard seed of faith. A mustard seed of faith. You know, the Lord dropped it in my heart and all I had to do was apply a little faith. Same with Pastor Ken Fletcher. The Lord dropped something in his heart and he applied. And then someone in Kalgoorlie, Coolgardie, they had a mustard seed of faith. The seed thought that the Lord had thrown to them and they applied faith to it. And then we that's how this opportunity was birthed. And I want to pitch to you today that the first step to living a life on mission is actually stewarding the mustard seed. It all started with a little mustard seed. Let's go to Matthew 17. A man comes to Jesus saying that he's brought his son who was struggling with seizures to his disciples. And this guy says, well, the disciples couldn't do anything. And so Jesus stops and prays for the son. He gets healed. And he goes to his disciples and has a little word. And let's look in the verses here in Matthew 17, verse 19 to 21. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? And Jesus replied, because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. See, friends, we can ask Jesus the exact same question today. Jesus, why can't I do great things like you? You've called me to be like you on this earth, but why can't I do great things like you? And I believe Jesus would respond exactly the same way to us today that he did with his disciples. What have you done with the seed I gave you? Did you apply faith to the seed I gave you? And we can ask that question today. What have we done with the seed that Jesus has given us? What have we done with the seed thought that the Lord has dropped in our heart? Maybe the last couple of weeks, maybe years ago. And we can... I had this great chat with a guy named Hannes at the Myrie campus. He's a newly appointed elder, him and his wife Trish, and we were just chatting about life, and he told me one day he was out watering the garden out the front, and he saw this fellow riding past on his bike, and the bike had a trailer as well, and the trailer was about to fall off, and Hannes just calls him over, hey mate, could I help you fix your trailer? And the guy was like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. So Hannes nicks out to the back of the back shed and starts fixing up his trailer. Meanwhile, Trish comes out, and this guy ends up with a whole bag full of takeaway for dinner for that night. And fast forward now, Trish and Hannes have met his girlfriend. The guy's come back a few times to get his trailer fixed a few times. It's like the whole Connect group's ministering to this couple. Why, church? How did it happen? Well, the Lord just sent a seed. And Hannes had fertile soil in his heart. The seed landed in good place, good soil. And because of Hannes's heart to say, hey, my life is not my own. You know, watering my plants can wait. Lord, I love your people just as you love them. Because the seed landed in fertile soil, then now this couple's being ministered to and the love of Christ is being... birthed in their lives. Amen? Let's look at this parable as well. We all know the parable of the sower. It's about a farmer sowing the seed. In Matthew 17, verse 4 to 9, it says, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no roots. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 and 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. My friends, have you been given a seed from the Lord and it landed on places other than good soil? Let me ask you these questions this morning. Maybe you let the seed fall on the path like the birds, and you let others come and steal that seed. Maybe the Lord was sowing something your way, but you let other people's voices and discouragement steal that seed from bearing deep roots in fertile soil. Maybe you let the seed fall on a rocky place, and maybe you have a bit of you had a bit of faith for what the Lord was throwing at you, the idea, the thought, the on mission thought the Lord was throwing at you. But then, and you went about it, you brought faith to it. But for some reason, there was some sort of speed bump that caused you to take a step back. And because the seed didn't fall, fell on a rocky place and it didn't have deep roots, you weren't able to keep running it out. Maybe the seed, you let the seed fall among the thorns. And maybe because you had some wholeness issues to work through, pride or self-condemnation or lacking in confidence, or maybe you were controlling with the thing that the Lord gave you, and maybe we were selfish with it. The seed wasn't able to bear any fruit or grow. It was choked up and the seed wasn't able to grow. What seed has the Lord put in your heart? And has it landed in good soil? Or do you need to work on preparing good soil for it to grow in? Don't let others discourage you and steal that seed from you. Don't let setbacks stop you from continuing walking in the call of God for your life. And don't allow a lack of journeying in that those wholeness areas to be what stops the seed from growing. The next step to living a life on mission is let the Lord direct your steps. The thing about the seed is that you can't really plan it, you know. I can't plan to go and start a church in Cambodia. I can't plan to do anything with the desire to minister to the indigenous community of WA. It was literally Proverbs 16 verse 9, the heart of man tries to plan his way, but it's the Lord who directs his steps. My question to you is it landed on fertile soil, but are you trying to direct the steps? Because the passage here says you give it a go, you go on and try and plan, but at the end of the day, the Lord's like, I will direct the steps. You know, we had this incredible opportunity to go to Coolgardie in May, and I was asked to lead the team, which I'd never led a mission trip before. And I remember we were driving that 7-hour trek back to Perth, and I was like, oh, the weight of the world's off my shoulder. I got through the mission trip. And I was reflecting with the Lord, and I was like, Lord, why did it feel so messy? Why did it, but so good at the same time? Like it was a God mess. And I was like, Lord, I planned these things, but it happened this way. And I planned this, but it happened like that. And the Lord took me back to this verse again, and he said, you can make your plans, but let them go and I will direct your steps. It's not messy. It's not mess. And the Lord challenged me again we got an opportunity again to go back to Coolgardie in November. And the Lord challenged me again. I was trying to lead again. I was trying to bring a plan to the team. And I was like, Lord, you're making me look terrible. And he said, look, good leadership doesn't look like coming in with a plan. It actually looks like allowing me to direct your steps. Would you trust me in it? And eventually, by the end of the trip, I was like, all right, team, I have no idea what the plan is. We're just going to let the Lord direct the steps. If you hear anything from the Lord, let me know and we'll do that. And sometimes, I'm speaking to maybe some people in the room today. You know, maybe you're the head of the home. Maybe grandparents, things are coming against you, and you want to come to the family with a plan. You come to the situation with a plan. But sometimes great leadership just looks like, look, I don't have a plan, but we're just going to trust the Lord because He will direct our steps. And so, friends, let's trust the Lord with that seed. Let's lay it back down at His feet today and let's trust Him with that seed, that you don't have to make a plan. You don't have to make this seed grow. You don't have to do anything with the seed. Just apply faith. And lastly, if I can get the worship team to join me, it's important to remember when living a life on mission, It's all about love in action. And in Coolgardie, we quickly realized that love in action was the most crucial thing to bringing down walls and actually getting an opportunity to share our Jesus with them. You know, on the first day, I sat in the classroom with some of these year eight girls. And, you know, I'm a very social, I'm easygoing. Like, you know, I could connect with most people. And I sat with these girls and I was just asking them about life. And it's like they couldn't hear me. So I asked the same question again. And it's like, oh, okay, they're actually ignoring me. Right. And, you know, throughout the week, I just sat with them and did their maths and just helped them with little things. There was no affection, there was no eye contact, there was, you know, and as I understood the community a bit more, there was quite a bit of shame there, quite a lot of, trauma. And so what we realized was we were met with quite hard shells at the beginning of this trip. And Monday came around, it was the last day, and we were heading out of town, heading back to Perth, and we stopped into the school at recess just to say goodbye to the kids. One of the girls that I'd been trying to connect with all week and felt very disappointed that I felt like I'd gotten anywhere. She sees me from, I walk through the front gate, she sees me across the grass, and I see her open her arms. Start walking across the grass in front of the entire school and gave me the biggest hug. You know what? I'd let the enemy get in my head that just because I hadn't seen salvation, hadn't gone deep in conversation, hadn't shared the gospel with her, that I wasn't ministering to her. But actually, the whole time, it was just love in action. Now, you know what that reminds me of, church? Makes me think that no one in this room is disqualified from being a minister of the gospel. Because love in action just looks like doing maths homework with someone who's really struggling with it. Love in action looks like heating up a meal for the neighbour because you saw that they've been having a tough time lately. Love in action looks like pausing at school drop-off and pick-up and just taking some time to hear about someone else's life. The Bible actually spells it out really well. Love in action looks like Romans 12:10. Be devoted and give preference to one another. It looks like Romans 14:19. Build up one another. Accept one another. Care for one another. Serve one another. Bear one another's burdens. Be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving with one another. Regard others as more important as yourself. Bear with and forgive complaints against others. Encourage and esteem one another. You see, the Bible speaks of love in action. And actually, that's, I believe, what opens the door for our community to receive Jesus. Love in action brings walls down and it opens people's hearts up. And love in action is something that the Lord charges us all with as we live a life on mission. You see, Sunday is a set of individuals who have an incredible gift to minister to a congregation. But what happens Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? That's your gifts coming alive in your worlds and you being Jesus. Receive the seed, apply faith to it, know that He's called you and trust Him that He'll direct your steps. Trust Him when you step out and have that conversation, that He'll put words in your mouth. Trust Him that He's called you to the mission field, that you're of your workplace and your worlds. Let Him direct your steps and just love well, church. Let's be a congregation that loves well. So good. Would you stand with me? I would love an opportunity to not just share this word with you, but to give the Lord some time here. Is that okay? Can we just pause for a moment and reflect? Would you close your eyes? In the quiet space of your heart, Lord, what seed have you been throwing my way? What seed have I maybe neglected, shelved? What seed did you throw my way last week and I got distracted and forgot about it? I feel the Lord might be speaking to you right now about community clubs, neighbors, family members. Maybe someone prophetic in this room and you felt the Lord tugging on your heart to write letters and cards and prophesy over your street, leave cards in your neighbor's letterbox. And you forgot about it, left it to the side. Maybe someone stole that seed or discouraged you. Maybe it didn't go down well the first time and so you stopped. If that's you right now and you feel like the Lord's tugging on your heart with that seed that and this parable actually spoke to you quite a bit, would you just place your hand on your heart right now? I just want to pray with you if that's you. You're going, yep, Lord, that's me. I hear you this morning, Lord. I want to get reactivated in that area. If that's you, just place your hand on your heart. Amazing. Let me pray right now. Lord, over every seed that may have received a negative word over it, Father, we break that right now in Jesus' name. We speak, Lord, life over every seed. And every seed that has been stolen, I declare, Lord, that it be returned to them right now in Jesus' mighty name. We speak over every, Lord, seed that you would bring fertile soil over every heart, Father God. I pray over every individual who's stepped out in their faith and stepped out and received a bit of a speed bump, Lord God, or a negative pushback, Father, and they stopped running and they stopped moving and they stopped walking in that mission that you've called them to, Father. I ask restoration over their hearts right now in Jesus' mighty name. I ask, Lord, would you come and would show your hand? Would you show your hand of faith over that situation right now, Father? Would you paint a fresh picture over your plans and your purposes, Lord, and their calling, Father God? Lord, we place our hands on our hearts this morning, Father, and we say, Lord, would you have your way in every area of our lives, Lord? Any area of wholeness that we need to work on, Lord, we ask that you would work on our pride. We would lay down our own agendas, Father God, that we would walk in confidence with you, Father, that we would know that you have called us and appointed us, Father God, that we would allow
podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.